escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
After an off-season-long standoff, a mini-camp holdout, T.J. Watt, as expected, not going anywhere. The sides agreeing on a three-year, $123 million contract extension that locks up Watt through 2028 and makes him not only now the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history at $41 million per year, it is also the second-largest contract ever in Steelers history behind, oh yeah, DK Metcalf, the player acquired from Seattle in a trade that really started everything off in terms of the Steelers overhauling so much of their roster, but in this case, sticking with one of the guys who has been a stalwart for this franchise.
Tom Pelissero on the latest on TJ Watt, who has signed an extension with the Steelers in the most, likely the most predictable thing. Good morning, Jeremy White. Chris Trapasso is here in studio with us for the next 2 hours. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
This is good.
Have you been here before?
Yeah, it's been a long time. To think back. I remember sitting in that chair that you're sitting in, talking to Howard before the 2018 draft about Darius Leonard as a linebacker option for the Bills. So 2018, that's the Josh Allen draft, obviously. I think that's the last time I was in the studio.
Okay, whatever happened to Darius Leonard?
He changed his name to Shaq Leonard and was elite in a few years for the Colts, and I don't think he's in the league anymore.
Yeah, linebacker option.
Yeah.
Well, welcome in. We see you all the time filling in on One Bills Live.
Oh, yeah.
So you're on in the afternoons from time to time. Chris Trapasso here. You can check us out on the YouTube feed. You can, of course, tune us in where we are. So anyway, welcome. Good to have you. Counting down the days to Bills training camp. Mm-hmm. We'll be out there on Wednesday, the 23rd. That's the first practice for the Bills. TJ Sanders signs another piece of news out there. The NFL kind of tidying things up, sweeping the floors, you know, all these things. Giant mega contracts for star defensive ends, minuscule second-round contracts for these players, and this logjam stops, and you know, we're off and running, getting towards the season. I don't know if you heard on the way in, we were having a conversation about like some, I guess it was best case scenarios for individual players. I opened up at the 7 o'clock hour with a James Cook scenario. Mm-hmm. We talked about, and then Josh brought up an idea about Elijah Moore. Like, oh, what if he has a huge year and the Bills extend him? And for me, that's an interesting conversation. Like, what does a great year even look like for an Elijah Moore? Right, like. There's a great year for Elijah Moore, and then there's a objectively great year for a receiver.
Sure.
And, you know, this offense, the way that it's kind of designed, the way that it kind of runs with all these pieces, all this everybody eats stuff, you might not have an avenue to have a objectively great season, like 1,500 yards. But Moore could definitely find a spot.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say those are two completely different things, just a really good wide receiver season and what Moore could realistically do within this offense. I actually, about a month or two ago, did a projection for best case scenario for Elijah Moore, and I didn't just like throw out random numbers. I took how much better Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, and John Brown got with Josh Allen, almost the Josh Allen multiplier. Going from Elijah Moore's best season, if you plug in those numbers to how much better Diggs, Beasley, and Brown got here in Buffalo, it's like 63 catches, 750-ish yards, and two touchdowns.
For Moore.
And that's based off his best season in terms, and I think it's like a little over 100 targets. I heard you on the way in, like, are there even 100 targets or, you know, 115 targets for Moore to get within this offense? Probably not. So I think any Bills fan, I think McDermott, I think Josh Allen would love 65 catches for 750 yards and two scores from Elijah Moore that they added post-draft. And I think that probably equates at most to a contract around $10 million. So I think sticking with the everybody eats mantra, if we're thinking, you know, how they like to spread the football around, they also will then like to spread the money around. You would have Shakir at $13 million. In this hypothetical, Elijah Moore at like $10 million, there's $23 million for two guys instead of paying $30 million for one.
Yeah, in that scenario, you're probably saying goodbye to Curtis Samuel. I mean, yeah. I would imagine he's not going to last if Moore pops. It is kind of interesting and maybe wild, but one of the biggest reasons that I think Bills – there's two reasons that Bills fans are not maybe worried about the receiving core. One is the success they had last year, and yeah. that's a point that Brandon Bean makes. And it's not wrong. They had a lot of success last year. They did, of course, have to adjust it on the fly, mm-hmm. making the Amari Cooper trade. I'm trying to think of if anybody could have predicted. No, what'll happen is they'll sign a guy post-draft, and then you'll all be like, oh, all right, I feel good about this now. Moore's kind of unique in that way because as a former second-round pick who went to the Jets and then the Browns, it just seems like the idea that this bump with Allen that you're talking about could happen, that's not hard to grasp. That's not hard to envision that something could go well for him like that. I like the skill set. The one thing I wonder about is, does he do something that they don't have? Is there more verticality to his game that they don't have somewhere else?
He's mostly a slot receiver. He's around the same size as Shakir, but he ran 4.34 coming out of Ole Miss. I know Curtis Samuel also was a low 4.3 guy, and we didn't really see a lot of that big playability besides in the playoff game against Denver from him last year, and the Bills will say he was injured, you know, the foot injury that he had. I do, though, think that Moore will provide a little bit of more of a vertical element, especially compared to what Shakir does out of the slot.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. We brought up James Cook. We brought up Elijah Moore. Bring up anybody you want here. Bring up a player and give us the best-case scenario for them for this season, whether that's a breakout, it's a domination. You know, We're all expecting Super Bowl. I put up that question about James Cook. What's his best case scenario?
And everyone said Super Bowl.
I tried so hard to make
it.
So hard to make it so people could not write in. They win the Super Bowl. Like we all know that, everybody. Like, of course, their best case scenario is the Super Bowl. It is a Super Bowl or bust lifestyle right mm-hmm. now. The Bills are simultaneously under a lot of pressure to do it. And also, the pressure doesn't even really start for a while.
I know.
Training camp is going to be just like, just don't get hurt. As long as you don't get hurt, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we've even seen them go 6-6 and be in disarray and then, you know, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
There's very much a belief that everything will just be fine. I won't be under any real stress until, when did the stress start last year? The Baltimore game?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah. Really?
Denver in the playoffs, they gave up a touchdown early, and maybe you have like a moment, and they just blow their doors off.
But they had done that in the wild card round in almost every
hiccups
year. Like early
Miami.
You know, Miami, the Colts game was tight.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was like, but it was always, and I like heard you guys mention it on the way in, you always felt, and this kind of is the case in every game, felt like, oh, Josh Allen's going to do something at some point, mm-hmm. and they're going to get one stop. And they're going to, you know, score, get a stop, and then score again and score 14 points in like 3 minutes, and it's going to completely change the game. So, yeah, it really was not until the playoffs that you felt any bit of nerves or pressure on this team.
Yeah. It's tough. It's not tough. It's a great life to live. It's the same as the Ravens right now. The Bills and the Ravens just kind of live in the same mm-hmm. neighborhood. The one thing that separates these two teams, and I wonder if there's a lesson here about roster building. Jeremy Fowler's top 10 players, right? Top 10 in every position. Christian Benford did not make the list. Let's just pretend he did because he probably should.
Yeah.
That would give the Bills, I think, 4 top 10 players. And the Ravens have 6. And the Ravens are thought of as having maybe more elite players.
Well, they had more Pro Bowlers last year. Yeah. They had like 8 Pro Bowlers.
And the Bills had 1. Right, exactly. The Ravens are thought of as a more, I don't know about top-heavy roster, but I think just a better roster. Outside of quarterback, which is its own debate. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are this like really well-structured, buttoned-up, pretty deep team where we came into this offseason thinking, where will they make a move to get a blue chipper? And they didn't get an established one. We'll find out if one of these guys they did get can become one, whether that's, you know, a Joey Bosa risk or a Michael Hoyt perfect fit or a draft pick. But, you know, they've kind of spent 2 years keeping things structurally intact mm-hmm. and making sure that they're not going to become, I don't know. I don't even know the cautionary tales here. Keeping it together with Josh Allen, you know, they've managed to walk the line. They've managed to do it.
They've proven, yeah, that that there was no regression from him or the team. The defense has still been near the top of the league in limiting big plays, creating turnovers across multiple seasons, which is basically unheard of. One last point that I want to mention that kind of is a segue to that. It's so crazy going from the Stephon Diggs era and being so wide receiver one focused and then thinking, okay, even if Elijah Moore has a really good season and the Bills give him a $10 to $12 million contract, that would be Shakir, Moore, and Josh Palmer, who we haven't talked about yet, combining for like $30 to $35 million when that's what one receiver, a Jamar Chase-type wide receiver is getting in today's NFL. If you were to pose that to anyone, I mean, maybe some people would rather have just Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, but it's almost like, why would we have not in the past wanted to say, let's diversify and have three really good receivers all making the same as what one receiver can do? Because if you take out Stephon Diggs in one game, we saw that the Bills' offense.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can really struggle.
I would push back on that. I would say diversifying is fine. Expensive diversification is a choice. Like, that's what the Bills are kind of doing here, because there are teams that diversify and they do it with not a lot of money spent. They just do it with draft picks. Like, that's ultimately at the root of my biggest disagreement with how the Bills have built. Of course, again, it doesn't mean like they're doomed, but middle class money at receiver is not something that a lot of teams do.
No,
and,
that's true.
And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying the Bills should have drafted Matthew Golden. I wonder if they would have if he was there. They very well might have, but he wasn't there. His salary this year will be lower than every Bills receiver, basically, as a first-round pick. So it's an odd way to do it. You could say that why pay a $30 million receiver when I can pay three $10 million receivers? Mm-hmm. And the answer is because you could pay $130 and then get two draft picks.
Yeah.
And it's the same, except you have a guy that has a lot more gravity against the defense. So I don't think I appreciate what the Bills have done from a whatever. Forget the money for a second. If they want to do it this way because they feel like this fit for them is a better fit for structurally offensively, that's fine. I don't think you can say they're saving money doing it.
No, that's true. And we haven't talked about Keon Coleman in this, and I was lower on him than probably at any other draft analyst out there when they picked him. If the Bills had Ladd McConkey on the roster now, and you're like, hey, look, they've added some mid-tier veterans. You like Josh Palmer. You like Elijah Moore. Oh, and they have this young, like you're saying, really cheap wide receiver entering year two, you would be like, oh my God, like this.
They're flush.
This is absolutely a loaded wide receiver group. So if you do believe in Coleman and you think that step is coming, he's going to take the leap, then suddenly you do have that advantage financially with a second round pick that's still young, making barely any money at
all.
Well,
let's get to Coleman there. You said you were lower on him than maybe anybody.
Yeah, I think I had third or fourth round grade on
him. Okay, so you, I mean, kind of hated the pick to maybe not hated, but not a fan of the pick.
I had Ladd McConkey as a first-round grade, and they were both sitting there on the board, yeah. And I thought he should have been the pick. Maybe the size and some injury concerns with him were the reason that the Bills didn't pick him. And traditionally, like, not every single wide receiver has been big, but think of the time in Carolina and then bringing in Kelvin Benjamin back to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. The Bills, and then they had success with the smaller receivers. I think the Bills wanted more size in the receiver room, that Coleman gave them what they didn't have. Maybe yeah. that was the ultimate kind of equalizer why he was the, or separator why he was the pick.
Do you feel better about him now?
No.
Okay.
I mean, him bulking up, that's not the problem. I think the separation ability and the fact that contested catch win rate is not really sticky year to year. Like, I mean, if you're Mike Evans, sure, it is. If you're Justin Jefferson, it is. But in general, a wide receiver that was really good in contested catch situations in college doesn't always translate to the NFL. You can have a season where you are at 70%, then at 30, then at 50, then at 20, then at 80. So to just rely in this day and age at receiver on rebounding the football over extremely athletic, very good ball skills, corners, it's not something that I want my wide receiver to hang his hat on. And yeah. I think unless he moves in the slot, that's where Coleman is going to have trouble.
Which is something so far the Bills do not seem to be interested in. And in fact, I don't even know if they have the snaps in there. They have a lot of guys in there that take those snaps.
Although I will say, and I tweeted this recently, I think I'm probably a victim of doing this. We get a little bit, I think, stuck in slot and outside, with especially with how Joe Brady
tight formations.
Yeah. Like, everyone's in the slot. It's not on the hash mark near the sideline for two wide receivers, and it's not Michael Irvin, Andre Reed.
Right.
It's very much open space. So, but I do get what you're saying, that the Bills do have seemingly like three or four already slot receivers. So there's Coleman. Can he really fit in there? I'm not sure.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, training camp begins Wednesday for the first practice. We'll be live at training camp Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for morning practices. We'll continue to bring things from St. John Fisher. Chris Trapasso joining me here in studio on WGR. For this this Coleman conversation, you know, you're still skeptical. I was reading Matt Harmon yesterday. He posted his Xavier Worthy profile.
Okay.
And it's funny, there are a couple of, I think, parallel ideas. And what Harmon wrote about Worthy, looking back on his first year, was he is not a guy that does everything. What he does well, and the Chiefs are able to use that quite a bit.
Exactly.
And that's really it. Like, would Xavier Worthy, and I'm only bringing up Worthy because the two of them are always tied together because of that trade. And it got me thinking about Coleman, which was basically there's the best version of Keon Coleman and how the Bills get that. Will they use him that way? Will they find the way to use what he does well as the Chiefs will find a way to use Worthy? And the thing about the Chiefs, if you listen to a lot of their offseason, a lot of their talk is about basically getting back to the 50-touchdown Mahomes years. They want to find the long ball again. They want to get
They were small ball the last like 3 years.
That's right. And they want to get back to long ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to unleash Worthy over the top with Rice, who we'll see about a suspension for him. So while the cover two and everybody got kind of reined in and became small ball, Andy Reid and the Chiefs are actively talking about wanting to get it back over the top and kind of hit again. And that's probably a lot of their genesis for the Worthy pick is
yeah.
that's what he does well.
Yeah.
And that's not something you're going to get out of Coleman, but Coleman's going to have whatever, something that he does well. The question is, can the Bills get it out of him?
Yeah, I mean, it will really all come down to, and I said it's in general not sticky. Maybe the Bills feel like it can be predictive, that Keon Coleman just needs to be that above-the-rim wide receiver. And I think it's no coincidence that, to me, his best game in Seattle, where he jumped over to Tariq Woolen in the end zone and then had that, like, down the numbers, like, back shoulder catch, like, almost, like, down the seam.
It's a broken play
like,
one?
No, the one that was, like, maybe it was a broken play, where he kind of, like, was covered well, but Josh made a perfect throw back shoulder, like, down the numbers. made a catch there. That's how he has to play. That's where he has to live. Again, I do think he needs to be featured in those condensed formations on shallow crosses where the two receivers cross and kind of try to create confusion in term or just a lot of traffic in the middle of the field, because he's just not going to get open
on the outside.
On the outside, on his own accord, with twitchiness, with explosion, with subtlety as a route runner. So if they can get that out of him and say, hey, Josh, like, just throw it up to Keon Coleman and let's at least see if he's really a good rebounder. That's, to me, the best avenue for the Bills to tap into all of his potential.
803-0550 to join us. Chris Trapasso hanging out here for a couple hours here on a Friday, and we're watching the Open Championship while we're doing it. Chris, you're a golfer, an avid golfer.
I am an avid golfer.
And a very good golfer.
I'm trying.
You might be the best golfer. Are you the best golfer I kind of know? You might be. Mm. You're up there.
Okay, that's good. I mean, I'll take it. Top five? Top three?
Top five, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Brian Harman leads the Open Championship. He always seems to perform well at the Open. Meanwhile, I'm on Bobby McIntyre here. That's my pick.
I saw a thing this week that the Open Championship the last 20 years has the highest average age of the winner, which to me seems perfect, because I think playing in the wind,
old man golf,
old man golf, like hitting eight irons that go like 10 feet in the air and just managing it around the course, more important there, and just having those years of knowledge of how to get around the course matters more at an Open than it does at the Masters or the U.S. Open.
I do think watching like the ball tracker on tee shots, I'm seeing more shaped tee shots than any other major.
Yeah.
You're seeing guys like swipe across the ball and a big bender down the fairway.
But it's hit well.
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly what they're trying to do. There's a lot more shot shaping out there, it appears.
And Bryson never plays well there because he just tries to bomb it and doesn't care where it goes.
He had a dreadful round in round one. He's been better today. He's putting for eagle right now. So he might make the cut. Last I saw, the cut was projected to be plus four. And he just missed the eagle putt. He's going to birdie to be at plus four. So
okay.
He might scrape his way back and make the cut. 803-0550. Jeremy White. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's off today. Chris Trapasso popping in for a couple hours here on WGR.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.